priorities in order. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, say amen when you have it. And we're going to read two translations this morning. The first translation we're going to read is the new NIV version, the New International Version. It says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I want to read it to you in the King James Version, the original version, because the King James Version puts a little added emphasis on the message that the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Ephesian church. This is how it reads in the King James Version. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your beautiful congregation. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me. I pray that you would calm my spirit. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. I pray that someone would be encouraged this morning, and that you would speak directly to someone's situation, and that they would walk out with liberty, freedom, and a mindset of peace. Thank you for what you're doing. I dedicate this word to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about setting our priorities in order. And I think it's only fitting to talk about it because for many people, 2016 is symbolic of a fresh start and new beginning. How many are happy 2015 has come and gone? Just kind of wave at me. For some, 2015 was a time of opportunity, and for others, 2015 was a time of missed opportunities. The good news is, whether you took advantage of an opportunity or you missed an opportunity, today you have a fresh start and a clean slate to start afresh and anew. It's my belief that as we enter 2016 for our church is going to be a year of expansion and a year of opportunity. You know, opportunities are an interesting thing, because opportunities sometimes tend to just present themselves. And if you're not ready to take advantage of a great opportunity, a good opportunity can pass you by. There are a lot of reasons why many people never take advantage of a good opportunity. Some of the reasons people tend to miss opportunities is because they're distracted. Sometimes people fail to take advantage of an opportunity because of fear. Or sometimes it's simply a lack of priority. You know, I was studying on history's biggest missed priorities. And if you do some research, there's some interesting missed priorities that happen in history. And I want to share two of them in particular with you, because I think that they give us two good examples of people that had a great opportunity, but because they were unwilling to move and make a decision, the opportunity passed them by. Are you with me? I was reading that in the year 2000, Blockbuster Video was an industry giant. And how many remember when you wanted to watch a movie, you had to go to the Blockbuster or Video Only to rent a movie for like, I think at one point it was like a dollar, and then it went to $2.99, then it went to $5.49. Come on, somebody. How many remember? As a little kid, I remember going, and I wanted the cartoons. And they knew how to get the little children, too, because they put the cartoons right in front. Hello. But in 2000, Blockbuster was one of the biggest video entertainment companies in the world. In 2004, at its peak, it had over 9,000 stores and over 60,000 employees. And by contrast, in the year 2000, there was a little company called Netflix. Netflix was a struggling company that almost went under. And in the year 2000, the CEO of Netflix, a man by the name of Reed Hastings, he flew over to Dallas, Texas to the Blockbuster headquarters. Catch this. Because Netflix was struggling, he met with the CEO of Blockbuster and all their executives, and he offered to sell Netflix to Blockbuster for $50 million. That seems like a lot of money. But Blockbuster's CEO and the executives didn't understand that times were changing. They didn't understand that technology was advancing. Therefore, they looked at Reed Hastings and they laughed at him. Literally laughed at him in the meeting. The story goes on to say that Netflix stuck with their model. They started streaming their videos online and to their subscribers. Catch this. In 2007, Netflix started to boom. And then Blockbuster in 2010 started to struggle because they couldn't change their model in time and they lost $1.1 billion. Catch this. In 2010, when Blockbuster went under, Netflix was now worth $13 billion. And it was estimated that as of May 2015, Netflix net worth was $19.7 billion. Had Blockbuster swallowed their pride and focused on seizing an opportunity, they might be around today. But because they were unwilling to move with the times, come on somebody, they lost everything. Heavy stuff, huh? You can learn a lot from history. I want to give you one more missed opportunity. Now, this one stuck with me because this one is kind of painful. In 1999, there was a small company that was ran out of a garage in Menlo Park called Google. Google at the time only had 3 employees. During that time, there was a company who was an industry leader in an internet portal. They were called Excite. And Excite was a pioneer in the business at that time. They wanted to expand their company, so therefore they were looking for other little companies to buy. And during this time, search engines were not accurate. It would kind of be a hit and miss thing. People would go to the internet, type in what they were searching for, and it was, you know, people, it was inaccurate. But looking at Google, one of the investors told the CEO of Excite, "We should buy this company." So George Bell, the owner of Excite, met with the 3 employees from Google. Now, Google offered to sell their company to Excite for $1 million. Now, George Bell thought that the price was too high. So what did he do? He said, no, being a businessman, he said, you need to drop your price down $250, sell it to me for $750,000. So the advisors of Google said, you should take this offer. So Google said, we will sell our company to $750,000. Now, George Bell, being a stubborn businessman, someone say stubborn, didn't buy the company. Therefore, another investor came, seen an opportunity of the future, backed Google, and the rest is history. Ask me how much Google is worth today. Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. $367 billion. Someone say, ouch. See, with studying opportunities, I found that opportunities are missed in 2 different ways. An opportunity can either be missed because an opportunity presents itself and there is a specific time frame or decision that needs to be made. And a failure to make a decision will result in a missed opportunity. Heavy stuff. The second way opportunities are missed is the most common. Most missed opportunities, listen to me, are the result of not what someone did, but what they were unwilling to do. See, this morning I want to talk to you about making the most of every opportunity and prioritizing your life according to God's standards. You know, when you look at the scripture that we read of the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, and you feel like there's a sense of urgency in the message that he tells them. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, this is what he tells the church. He says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." He goes on to say, "To live circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time." When you really listen to his message, you can sense an urgency in the message he was trying to convey to the church. See, at the time, the Ephesian church was doing very well. They really didn't have any problems within the church. But the Apostle Paul, understanding the times, seeing that the days were evil, he noticed that people didn't want God. And therefore, he was warning the church that you cannot fall asleep. Because if you're not careful, your standards will be lowered and you will live according to the world. And you and I, we're not called to live according to the world's standards. We're called to live according to how the Bible says we should live. He goes on to use a very specific word. He says, "Watch then that you walk circumspectly." Now this word has a lot of insight and meaning. Because the word to walk circumspectly means this: to walk exactly as you're supposed to walk accurately, or to walk in a manner of diligence. In other words, when somebody walks circumspectly, they walk cautiously. They're watchful of every way with attention, and they're on guard, and they never are caught by surprise. A person who walks circumspectly, they don't live careless or aimless lives. They are people who have their mind set on a target, and as a result, they live to a certain standard. And I thought this was interesting because there are a lot of people that they live aimless lives. I even found that there are people that come to church every Sunday, and here they are at the beginning of January 2016, and they don't feel like they've gotten anywhere. Who's ever been there? Come on. I've been there too. Come on, somebody. It's not a bad thing. This is why we got to walk circumspectly. We got to be people that learn to identify the times in which we live in. See, people who walk circumspectly, they understand the law of cause and effect. Follow me for a second. The law of cause and effect says, all actions have consequences and produce specific results, as do inactions. In other words, did you know that what you don't do have consequences? One of the biggest plagues in the church today is that there are a lot of people who come to church and they're really not effective in life. God hasn't called you to live an idle life. God didn't call you to live in struggle. God didn't call you to walk in circles. Come on, somebody. God didn't call you to run on a spiritual treadmill. There are some people, they're running on a spiritual treadmill, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, and they're frustrated. Listen, 2016 needs to be a year where you do things just a little bit different. You might say, "Man, I've tried this. This isn't working." You got to be wise enough to say, "I'm not going to settle with who I am, where I am, but I'm going to try something different, even if I fail." Come on, somebody. I learned that failure isn't a person. Failure is a part of the process. And listen, I would rather fail trying to do something for God than fail by not doing anything at all. I am convinced that when I try things that don't make sense, I think like, you know, I have a son. Come on, somebody. How many parents do I have in the house? And have you ever watched your kids try to do something that they really don't know how to do? Right, one of the habits that I have in my house, I call it my ministry. It's soothing for me. When everyone goes to sleep, I don't know what it is, but I start cleaning my floors. I do. Everyone goes to sleep. I start sweeping my floors, and I'll spend time just scrubbing my floors. And I always get, you know, sometimes I get frustrated because my little son, 3 years old, says, I want to help. And I'm on a mission. But he wants to help. And you know what? I kind of stand by and I let him. Now, he's not doing a good job. He can barely hold it up. But as his father, there is a specific joy that lives in my heart. So what do? Me being the father that I am, I sit there and I kind of hold it and I'm pushing it and I make him believe it's him that's doing it. See, you got to understand something. You might try something you don't know how to do, and you got a father that it catches his attention and he smiles upon you. He said, wow, look at my son. He's trying to do something that he doesn't even have the skill for. I found that when men step out, even when they don't have the gifting, God some way, somehow gives them the gift. He gives them all that is necessary to do great things for his honor and his glory. See, this morning, my challenge to you is that you do something for the Lord this year. That you set your priority on greatness. Because you got to know God has called you to greatness. This is why the Apostle Paul warned the church to live circumspectly. And he followed up by saying, not as wise, but wise, redeeming the time. In other words, he was saying, do not live aimlessly. Do not live carelessly. Live with intention and live to make the most of every opportunity. Now, the phrase redeeming the time is also interesting. Because here the Apostle Paul, follow me, he's not talking about ordinary time. When he says redeem the time, he's not talking about seconds, minutes, and hours. But he's talking about a time that can be translated in the Greek, a word called kairos. Now, kairos time carries with it the idea of a right time. It carries with it the idea of a predestined time or an appointed time. In other words, there are pockets and windows where God wants to move, and it's our job as his children to seize those opportunities. Come on, some of you are going to catch this morning. There are a lot of people, they don't have a problem with time. There are some people, you're very good with time. The problem is, schedules are so packed, some way, somehow, God is left out. Too early? But I'm talking about making God our priority to where we say, God, I'm not just going to live life. I'm not just going to come to church, but I'm going to live circumspectly. I'm going to live a life that's watchful. I'm going to live a life that wants to seize every godly opportunity that presents itself. I believe that 2015 for many may have been the year of missed opportunities, but this year will be the year that you can take back what the enemy stole from you. I believe that many in 2016, you're going to try things you never did before and you're going to be successful. Oh, yeah. I believe that God is going to do great things within this church because we are going to be a church that focuses on taking advantage of kairos time, the appointed time, which God intended for you and I to shine for his honor and his glory. See, I believe, let me give you an example of kairos time. David took advantage of kairos time when he fought Goliath. Because the Bible tells us that for 40 days and 40 nights, there was two armies. Nobody in Saul's army wanted to fight the giant. David was just a little shepherd boy. David was just in charge of taking cheese to the soldiers. But what did he do? As he showed up, he heard this giant defying the armies of God. And as he walked away, he caught a glimpse of kairos time. He caught a glimpse of an opportunity, and he said, wait a minute, why is nobody fighting this man that's talking about our God? And he said, what will happen for the man that fights? Later on, they came and said, if someone fights him, he will be made king. Not king, but he told them that he would be given the king's daughter. Come on, somebody. Where are all the singles at? Hello. Come on, somebody. You get busy for God, she just might come strolling in. Come on, somebody. Come on, young lady. You focus on the Lord. You keep your eyes focused on Kairos time. And listen, God will put all things together. Because some of you, you got to know, God is preparing. I don't know why I'm saying this. God is preparing somebody. Somebody needs to hear it. God is preparing somebody for you, but you got to stay focused. Because if you're not careful and you get distracted by, come on, somebody, by little old honey, come on, somebody, or what do they call them, bae? Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't even like that word. I'm like, come on, man. Well, I'm talking about being a person that takes advantage of every opportunity. Ephesians 4:1 tells us this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling which you have received. Colossians 1:10 says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we walk in a manner worthy of our calling, when we walk in a manner that pleases God, the Bible says we will be fruitful in every good work. The problem is there is too many Christians that come to church and they're living aimlessly, they're living carelessly, and therefore they think time is on their side, but all the while, time is passing them by. All you got to do is look around and put on the news. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to build our little kingdoms. We don't have time to try to invest in all real estate. Now, granted, if God has called you to that and he's called you to a business, that's all good and dandy. But don't you lose sight of the fact that God has a calling on your life. There is something specific you're supposed to do. And when you step into the calling of God for your life, your family member will come to know Jesus. Your family will be brought back together. Those relationships that were broken will be redeemed. As we increase our knowledge of God, listen to me, we become sensitive. This is important. When we increase in our knowledge of God, we become sensitive to when God wants to move. See, many missed opportunities are a result of what people don't do. People aren't praying like they should. People aren't reading the Bible like they should. They're not looking for God to move. This is why I always say, when you come to church, you got to come with expectation. You come with expectation, God has a need to meet. You come and you look for something, you very well will find it. Come on, somebody. Some of you, opportunity has been staring you in the face, but because of Facebook, because of come on, somebody. Wasting time. Now listen, I'm not trying, you know what, if the shoe fits, wear it. I was going to try to clean it up, but listen, I'm talking about setting priorities in order. You have to understand, the Bible says God is looking to and from a man or woman who will not only redeem the time, but a man or woman that will stand in the gap on behalf of his people. God is looking. There are opportunities all around us. It's my heart's desire in 2016 that I seize every opportunity. I want to make God's priorities my priorities. And know this, that when you do that, the Bible says, if you put him first, everything will be added to you. See, God doesn't leave anything out of the equation. He just wants to be first. See, if you're going to be a person who redeems the time, if you're going to be a person who seizes godly opportunities, you will have to live by a certain set of priorities. See, there are a lot of people who have a desire to know God. There are a lot of people who they say, I want to fulfill the call upon my life. I want to do great things for God. The problem is their actions don't go beyond their desires. They desire to do great things, but their story lives a completely different life. This is why priorities are so important. Because this is what a priority is. It's a thing that is regarded as most important. See, priorities are not what we say are important. Priorities are what is shown in our everyday life. What we spend our time on. Because no matter which way we slice it, what we spend our time on says what's a priority to us. This is where we got to be careful. Because we don't have time. Some of us, we're on borrowed time. We don't have time to play around. If my priority is to lose weight, Come on, somebody. How many said that this year is going to be the year? Come on. I believe in you. Come on, somebody. Jump on this Daniel fast. I promise you, you lose like 15 easy. Don't do it just for that, but I guarantee you. Eat lettuce, apples, and I don't know what up, man. You'll be doing. You'll be. Come on. But if my priority is to lose weight, then I'm not going to eat carelessly and eat what I want. I'm definitely not going to go have a burrito up from 72nd and Park at 10 o'clock at night. Come on, somebody. I'm definitely not going to go to all-you-can-eat buffets. No, if my priority is to lose weight, I'm going to watch what I eat, and I'm going to live a certain way. If my priority is to get out of debt, then I'm not going to spend carelessly. I'm going to develop a plan, stick to that plan, and live on a specific budget. Now, if my priority is to fulfill the call of God upon my life, I'm not going to live aimlessly. I'm going to be intentional about my spiritual growth. I'm going to be intentional about my relationships and where I spend my time. And I'm going to make sure that I live a life circumspectly. Stephen Covey said this: the key is not prioritizing your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. I'm going to say it again. The key is not prioritizing your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. We as God's people need to schedule our priorities, because there are some people, they do it the other way. They prioritize their schedule, and as a result, they don't have time for church. Ooh, come on, somebody. I didn't have time to come to church, therefore I didn't come to church because I couldn't fit it into my schedule. And the day that we're living in, it amazes me how church is not a priority. There are some people, they'll argue. They'll say things like, well, I don't need to come to church to have a relationship with God. Amen. Come on, who's ever been there? I've been there. Hello. But why was the church created? To hear the word of God. To develop relationships. To grow spiritually. And if truth be told, the very same people that have the attitude like, I don't need the church, I could do it on my own. Well, that's interesting, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God seen man was alone, and that was not good. Amen. Listen, church needs to be a priority. Church can't be a convenience. I don't know what doctrine people are listening to today. People are listening to the doctrine of self-gratification and convenience. But the doctrine I listen to is the doctrine of Jesus. Even Jesus, at a young age, made it a priority to be in church. His parents lost him. They were looking everywhere. But the one place they didn't look was in the church. And when they found him in the church, they said, Jesus, why did you do this to us? He said, didn't you know? I was supposed to be about my Father's business. Come on, somebody. Say amen or oh my. We as believers need to set our priorities in order. When we set our priority in order, great things happen. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 27 says this: everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. See, that's a perfect example of someone who set their priorities in order. Now, I want to give you six reasons why priorities are important. Are you with me? You give me a few more minutes? Are you getting something? How many are just mad at me, just kind of waving me? Come on, somebody. He's telling me the truth. Hello. I'm telling you, I like to have fun in church. These are reasons why priorities are important. Number one, priorities will influence your choices. Whatever is your priority, and I'm talking about a focused priority. We all know our children are priorities. That's a given. That's what we're supposed to. But I'm talking about a specific priority. Priorities will influence your choices. Number two, priorities will help clarify your goals. A priority will help you, in other words, clarify what you should be striving for. Number three, priorities will help you develop a plan to fulfill your goals. Because a goal without a plan is just a dream. There are a lot of people, they dream, but they got no plan. There is no action to that plan. They smoke what I like to call hopium. They just hope. There's hope in the air. Come on, somebody. But I'm talking about living an aimless life. I mean a focused life. Number four, priorities will keep you focused. Number five, and this one's important. Priorities will cause us to sacrifice or eliminate certain activities from our lives. That's some heavy stuff. A real priority will cause us to sacrifice or eliminate certain activities from our lives. We have to be people that live a lifestyle that supports our ambition. In other words, if your ambition is to be the best athlete, then you gotta practice. If your ambition is to be a preacher, your priority has to be studying the Word of God. If your priority is to get married one day, you gotta clean up. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. You catch this later. Live a lifestyle that supports your ambition. Moving along. Number six, priorities will cause us to reevaluate what really matters. You know, as I sat there in December, I started focusing. And for the whole month, I zeroed in on my priorities. What will my priorities be? And I even prayed. I said, God, what do you want my priorities to be? And one of my priorities, I'll just give you one of my priorities. I said that, well, this year, one of my priorities, I want to make sure that studying is one of my top priorities. Now you might say, well, that's your job. You're supposed to preach the gospel. Yes, absolutely. But I'm talking about making sure it's a part of my lifestyle and making sure nothing gets in the way of my study life. Why? Because it's my heart's desire to help preach messages that will transform lives. And that can only happen, not by wit, not by good words. Listen, what we're looking for today, if you're called to be a preacher, we're not looking for someone that knows how to quote or put a nice little message or speech together. What we want is people that know how to identify with other people's hurts. We're looking for men and women that walk a specific lifestyle, that study when nobody's watching, that are willing to meet a need, willing to lead by example, because those that live the lifestyle preach the most powerful messages, even if they're not eloquent. Listen, we don't need good speakers. We don't need eloquent speakers. We don't necessarily need educated speakers. I got good news for you. If you're uneducated, listen, the Bible tells us that the men that God chose to be his disciples were uneducated men. And the Pharisees looked at them and said, man, these men are uneducated, but they had seen that they had been with Jesus. In other words, there was an anointing upon their life. And when you study the Word of God, the anointing of God is poured into your life. This year, I want to challenge our church. Listen, church, and I'll be coming to a close. I want to make sure that my priorities are God's priorities. My prayer for you is that you would make your priorities God's priorities. Colossians 3:2 tells us how we can do this. It says, set your minds on things above, not on things on earth. And when we set our minds on godly things, we begin to live different. Rick Warren said a powerful statement. This is what he said. Living in light of eternity changes your priorities. Living in light of eternity changes your priorities. Some of you got to start thinking about heaven and hell. We don't talk about hell. We just think like everyone's going to heaven. Jesus died for nothing. Everybody goes to heaven. Part of the gospel is the reality that if people don't come to identify Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it's the truth. We can't get away from that. See, my goal in this church is to scare the hell out of you. I want to scare the hell out of you and heaven into you. I want to make sure that you are heavenly minded. I pray that you begin to live in light of eternity so that your priorities will be kingdom focused. When we set our minds heavenward, our priorities shift towards God's agenda. Why should we make God our first priority? Matthew 22, 37, 38. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. See, when a person lives to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind, God is their priority. When God is our priority, we live different and we do everything in our power to keep His commandments. Because John 14, 15 says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is important to understand, because today people live a watered down gospel. People like to live in gray areas. But when God is your first priority, we live circumspectly and we strive to live accurately. We don't make excuses to why we do things and we don't justify our actions, but we align our actions with the Word of God. And lastly, you have to know this. There are benefits to making God your priority. Catch this. Matthew 6, 33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What were all these things? If you read the chapter prior, he talks about worry. He talks about material things. In other words, you put first the kingdom of heaven and everything that people are chasing endlessly, God will give it to you for free. Psalms 37, 4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. There are benefits to when we put God first. And as I close, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16 again. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is for your life. And this morning, as we all stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, listen, I don't know where you're at this year.